The scripture today is Romans 10, verses 14 through 17. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, "Lord, who has believed our message?" So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to thank you for the church congregation for your prayer for this trip. And this spiritual pilgrimage to Korea trip was organized by three churches, our churches and Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Rochester, and the first Oswego United Methodist Church. So all together, 28 people have attended this program, for a one-week program. And there were a little incident, but I thank God for everybody had a good time and safely came home. You probably heard individually the stories about what they have learned, experienced, but I would like to have some moment in this time to share their experience, what God has led them to learn through this journey. I do believe that there is a God's planning for this journey, and each one of us have learned something to share with you today. So I would like to invite all people who travel to Korea. I know that some are not here today, but would you stand and come in front of us, and that we have to say 감사합니다 to the congregation. First, let us say thank you in Korean, which is 감사합니다, for their prayer. We thank you for your prayers. And if you like to share, who would like to do this first? Not too long, but okay, thank you, Dave. The minute or two maximum.
One thing I noticed, I felt, was the genuineness, I guess if that's a word, of the people over there. They all smiled and bowed when we approached them on the street or in the church. And I don't think it was because somebody said to them, "Hey, here come the Americans, act nice." I think it's just the way these people were and how they act all the time. They were genuinely concerned for our health, our comfort, and our safety while we were there also. There was one time when they sort of sent us out on our own. They took us to the what they called cheap shopping. It was a district downtown where there was a long, narrow street with shops and restaurants along each side. And we sort of thought we were on our own for about 2 or 3 hours, but every time you'd look around a corner or down the street, you could see sometimes the senior pastor or one of the associate pastors lurking and keeping an eye on us. So, you know, as much as we thought we were on our own, they were pretty concerned about us. And I think one of their main objectives was to keep us overfed and exhausted so that we didn't wander off too much. But so
I'll pass this to someone else if they'd like to share something.
One thing that I noticed when I was over there was how much they pray. They pray and pray and pray. I think, I'll be honest, I probably prayed more in that week than I've prayed in a year. And it was just striking to me, how much they lift everything up to God. And, you know, they just feel that he is the answer. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to keep him in all of our thoughts on a daily basis. That was the biggest thing that I thought came out of it.
One of you may say about the, more about the early prayer prayer service in Korea, to what time and then.
So every morning, every day of the week, 5 a.m., they have a prayer service. And they probably have 1,000 people or more that come to spend an hour with God through a service, singing hymns, and then praying. What really impressed me was the early morning service and the prayer and the dedication and the way that so many people provided services to God through their church. It was remarkable.
I tend to think that I'm pretty hospitable and friendly and warm and outgoing and welcoming to people that come into our church, but these folks put me to shame. They practice a radical hospitality. It's unreal. When we got off the plane and we first arrived at the church, this is what we were greeted with.
Roses.
For like 15 minutes, they clapped for us getting off the plane. It was unbelievable. And then the whole week just progressed from there. They fed us and they nurtured us and they loved on us and they hugged us and welcomed us. I cannot overstate how hospitable and warm these people are. They're just so loving. They're filled with God's Holy Spirit and they don't have one inhibition in the world about showing it. They just let it rip and they're just awesome.
When I first learned about this trip, I think Diana asked me if I had any interest in going to Korea. And I probably said, well, where are we going? We're going to be going to a church there. Where are we staying? In the church. How long does it take to get there? 14 hours, you know, flight from Atlanta. So I said to her, do you want to go? Of course she said, absolutely. So, you know, I'm probably a little skeptical person, you know, not really knowing what to expect and what they wanted in return from us. I was humbled by their grace, generosity, their love of God, and I really learned a lot from that experience.
I think everything we experienced, everything they gave, was all out of the love of Christ. That was what was so overwhelming. We can all be nice people and good people, and kind people and welcoming, but they truly love the Lord with all their heart and soul and mind, and everything they do is with a servant's heart to each other, to others around the world, to everyone in their community. They actually, this is an enormous church with an enormous budget. But they get a list from the local utilities company 4 times a year, and anyone that wasn't able to pay their utility bill, the church pays for them. That is a servant's heart, and that is reaching out and serving the world. And if I hope and pray that we each caught a bit of that, maybe a lot of that, as we continue to serve the Lord here in our church and in our community. Praise God for this incredible experience.
I think one thing that really struck me about the Korean people that we met are they are on fire for their Lord, just on fire. That was just amazing. They have a saying across the top of their altar that says, pray, pray, and pray more. And I thought that was pretty interesting. But I also thought it was really interesting what we learned about the American missionaries and how Christianity came to Korea. And they, when they did this back in the 1800s sometime, when they started coming over, they did two critical things. One was they approached them with education, and the other thing was that they transcribed the Bible into Korean so that the people could read about it, and then that it just took off, and Christianity is just a huge thing in Korea now. I was a little anxious, like Bruce. I felt the same way he did. I was a little anxious about getting on a plane again because I had had a bad experience once. And I was struggling with it a lot. And one day I woke up and I just thought, I'm going to bail. I'm not going to do this. But I thought, no, first I'm going to go down to the Saturday morning prayer service. And so I did. I came down here, and the people that were here, Joseph and Dennis and Linda Lowe and Lori Mann, were all here, and they prayed for me. And it just gave me a peace. And I was able to take that ridiculous anxiety and just put it to rest. And it just, I'm so glad that I went. I'm so glad that they did that. And I just can't thank the congregation enough for the prayers that we received while we were over there. And it was just an experience of a lifetime. I just thank everybody.
안녕하세요. 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 That's like how are you and wishing you well. I had no idea what we were in for and what we were going for. I came back from one of my trips, and Pastor asked me back there at Fellowship about a travel, and I thought he was going to reprimand me for being gone so much. But instead, he said, you know, would you like to go on this trip to Korea? And we didn't go in his office. It was back there, and I'm so glad I did. So until we got there, I really didn't know what it was all about and what we were going for. I just was eager to do something like this. A few of the things that struck me, and I took some notes, and I took a lot of pictures, and they are cultivating other churches. They are cultivating their youth and their families. They have senior pastors and interim pastors, and they have incredible discipleship programs there. Their church is filled with rooms with couches in them for gatherings. So it's not necessarily Bible study. It's for getting together to talk about whatever it is that they're talking about, into sharing the Lord and to share probably their praises and their concerns, is what I would assume, like a class meeting or a small cell group. So they were all throughout the whole church, these rooms. One of the notes I took down was they said, from the message was, meet me, Lord. When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. They also talked about Matthew 10:14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. A couple examples of that is, you know, they've talked about missionaries. There was somebody from Oneida or Utica that had gone there 150 years ago or so. A young man left central New York. And, you know, we drove, you know, we flew to Atlanta and we flew overseas and we were tired. I mean, my eyes are burning and I wanted to pay attention to listen. I just wanted to close my eyes. But here, think about it. 150 years ago, somebody traveled over there. And they are so appreciative to this day. They have a museum. They have their churches from not just American, but other European countries that they've kept the organs and they've kept the Bibles and they've kept the notes. And they have them under glass and behind glass. And when these missionaries were persecuted and killed sometimes, or their children would die, and they would still stay there, the missionaries would. They watched all this. And some of the persecuted Christians, they didn't know what to do with their bodies, and they wanted to put them someplace, and they decided, no, that's not acceptable, and they put them in someplace else. They took us to this cemetery, and today there's a museum there, and there's a church. And they're so grateful that people from around the world reached out to them. Because if you look at them geographically, they're a very small country. They have a lot of, you know, people breathing down their necks. So every day, like everybody's been saying, every day they depend on God for so many different things. Their food, they can't have a lot of cows. They have to import their meat because they don't have the landmass like we do. But yet they were so hospitable to us and took us to restaurants where we were just fed and overfed, and we didn't pay a dime. They provided everything for us, and they tried to give us American food in between so that in case we, you know, were hungry, not eating their food. One of the things at the museum that really caught my eye was there was a glass bottle, and inside this glass bottle was rice, a little mini Bible, an American dollar, and a note. And I was so surprised. They said they had mailed these or put them on balloons so that they could go over into China and into North Korea. I mean, that's just amazing that, I mean, this was glass. I mean, they were feeding people's bodies, but they were feeding people's mind, and then to give them a little money. One of the things I don't understand, and you musical people can help me, is we would sing, you know, songs, English songs, How Great Thou Art, or different songs, and I don't understand. Their language is different syllables than ours, but we would end up at the chorus at the same time and at the end of the song at the same. So somebody that's musical needs to explain that to me, because I don't understand how that worked, because they have different syllables than we do. I had so much fun with the children. I found them so vivacious. They were climbing on couches. They had smiles as big as their faces. Their hair is thinner, but they would have little rubber bands, so their hair was poking up like little whale spouts all over. I just loved looking at them. They had a time where we did like a meet and greet, and we stood along the back of the wall after one of the services, and a woman came up to me, and, you know, I had fun. I finally nailed all the sayings that they taught us, and this woman untied a scarf from her neck because I reached out and I had touched her scarf because it has like these leaves on the corners of them. She untied her scarf and tied it around me, and I tried to stop her, and I couldn't talk to her, but she gave me her scarf, and I was just so taken by that.
Suzanne, so we have a few more people to
share. So, okay, the last thing I want to say is, you know, we had a lot of people, and we don't spend time together all the time. We're all different personalities, but boy, did we have fun. And boy, was the Holy Spirit evident, because, you know, the time we got to spend together, there was harmony and there was unity, and only the Holy Spirit can do that.
Thank you.
There's not much that I can add that everyone hasn't spoken about, but just the lovingness of the people and just incredible, the love of God, the love of us, taking care of us, and it was a blessing.
No, it was a wonderful opportunity. I was just really overwhelmed with the opportunity to go when it was presented to me. And thank you all for that opportunity. And seeing what we saw over there, to piggyback off of what everybody has said, the prayerfulness of the people that are there, the early morning services are in themselves amazing. If they're moving in a way that it's hard to describe, as everybody has kind of alluded to. For me, that was really meaningful. And the rest of the experiences were something that I'll treasure. So I just want to thank everybody for their support while we were there, and certainly in their prayers for getting us back safely. Thank you.
Thank you. Just David, one thing. Just on a lighter note, as Suzanne said, when we got there, it was like 4:30 in the morning after about a 40-minute bus ride from the airport to the church. We went into the fellowship hall, and we sat down, and each table had either a Dunkin' Donut or a Krispy Kreme on it. Now, I've eaten plenty of donuts in my time, but until I saw the senior pastor start eating his with a fork, I'd never tried that. But I think we all reached for our forks while we were watching him eat his donut. But not otherwise, it was great, though. I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to add one quick thing. We all really appreciate the loving care that we got from Pastor Joseph and Ji-sun. Yes. They did. They were just wonderful. They took care of us, too.
Yes.
Thank you.
So one more time, 감사합니다. 감사합니다. Thank you very much. Yeah. It was all my dream to take the congregant to Korea. And the first church I served 20 years ago, I shared this one to people. Anyone would like to go and travel to Korea? So, Korea? No, I cannot go. So no one dared to go to Korea. I'm so glad that so many of us can make this trip to Korea. We have a limited seat because of three churches traveling. So I hope in the future we may have another opportunity to go to Korea. Today's Bible talk about, especially verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. There's many different perspectives from this world, what the Bible and the God's kingdom says. Now, who's beautiful in this world? We know. We define the beauty in our own term. But in God's kingdom, the beauty is defined is this way. Not by our appearance, but by how they live. Those who travel to where God has sent them to. And these are the beautiful ones. Many of us wonder why. And this is my third trip, and every time when we went there, and the people said, I haven't done nothing to these people. Why they so treat us in that way? And there's a reason. It's not because of you, what you did, but because of what ancestors of faith did. Mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In 130 now, 7 or 8 years that first Protestant missionaries landed on Korea. And many people died in the early ages. Those mid-20s or some 30s, and their children in young age, and they died on this land. For Korean Christians, we are so daddy too. What they had done years ago. So now, because these churches, not only this Methodist church, but other Presbyterian churches, and Pastor Danny's Presbyterian church, and there are many Presbyterian churches do such a thing. They are so thankful for what missionaries did. And they planted a seed, and they literally transformed the country, as we saw. Not only spiritually, but as a whole nation. It's not just a word. When we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, we experience a transformation. It may not be not this world, this time. It may be a next generation, next generation. In Korea, those missionaries, early missionaries, could not see prosperity of Korea. But now this generation, now we, the descendant of these missionaries, when we visit Korea, we see the prosperity, fruit of gospel. Yes? Yeah. I'd like to share one thing, and Suzanne shared this one, and that one person among many missionaries, I'd like to share one person because this person is very important to us. George Heber Jones. You might be look familiar, right? So we have a live the person here. George Johnson was converted. He had a conversion experience when he was high school, and he dedicated his life. And he's from the Eureka, and after graduating high school, he served as a YMCA staff member in Oneida YMCA. And he heard about the missionary, the Korean missionary he's looking for. The first missionary, Henry Pangeler, studied this school, and the school was booming, and he needed more teachers. And so he sent a message to the mission body in America, I need more missionaries. I need more teachers. Unfortunately, no one volunteers during that time. And this young man, just high school graduate, said, me, I want to go. And the mission board said, no, you are not qualified yet. You are just graduated from high school. We are looking for a person who graduated from the at least college. And he waited for 1 year until mission board said, okay, I think there's a lot of need in Korea, and that we cannot find anyone to go, and you can go and teach math, which he could go. So he, at age 20, so he went to Korea. He about a month-long journey to Korea. And as you can see, he served in this school for 5 years, and then he came to this church where we visited, Incheon Neri Church, and became the second pastor after Pangeler. When he first came here, the church was small and like a cell group or class meetings, and they gathered as a society, and then once he got there, about 25 years old, young man, he pastors this church. During this time, the church has grown, and he built this building. And he studied the schools there, and he planted 44 churches, and he did a lot of things. So I just want to share. I'm so proud of him because I'm from this area. And this young man, even though he was underqualified, but he persisted, I want to go, I want to serve. And indeed, he came and served for 20 years. And he got a doctorate degree, honorary doctorate degree, and came back to America and served as a mission director in the mission board and taught Boston Seminary as a professor. So, 1985, April 5th, that's Easter Sunday, when Methodist missionary Appenzeller and the Presbyterian missionary Unload both came on Incheon. So Appenzeller is very famous prayer, and as you can see, his prayer been answered over the decades. He prayed this prayer. We came here on Easter. May he who on that day burst asunder the bars of death, break the bands that bind these people, and bring them to the light and liberty of God's children. And this young man and woman too, they loved aliens. I mean, Korea back then was a hermit kingdom, was an unknown to the world. But why they dedicated themselves to go over there? Because of love of Christ. God's love overflows from top to down. And because of the love of God, they gave their life to the Lord, to the country that never had this gospel before. Once again, we have to think about this question. Who are the beautiful ones? We all want to be handsome, beautiful, but really, I mean, it is okay, I need to have a right attire, good looking, to live in this world. But we as a Christian, have you ever considered to be beautiful in the presence of God? Who is the beautiful ones? The one who carry the good news to other people. Today's message says, people saved when they believe. How they believe? Because they heard the messages. So how they heard the message? Because someone was sent to them. Who are those people who are sent to carry the good news of Jesus Christ, to speak, to proclaim those good news to the ears so that they can hear and be saved? Once again, mission of the church is make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We may not know the fruit, but someday in heaven, someone will come to you. Hi, Brian. Thank you very much. I know that years ago, you proclaimed the goodness to my grandfather. Now I have received their legacy of faith. I mean, as a Korean Christian, I may go and see Johnson, George Jones. Thank you very much. Pendulum, thank you very much that you committed to us and brought the good news to us. You are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. We can be beautiful in the eyes of God when we share this love and goodness to other people. And someday their descendant will come in heaven. Thank you. Thank you what you have done. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you. And sometimes we don't know, you know, how we come to this point. But there is the people who before us and gave their lives, sacrificed, and prayed in tears and cries. And we are just a benefit of their labor. We are thankful when we understand that this is not just we just came before you. It's about many people who dedicated their lives, who prayed day and night. And now we see the transformation, not only in our lives, but our society. And we are here, your church. Once again, we want to go to be a beautiful one that carry your good news to those who need. Help us, O God, to proclaim the good news that we have received. All this we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.